If you'd like to read with us in Deuteronomy, this sort of goes along with what we was speaking earlier about. But here in Deuteronomy, in the 29th chapter, this is where Moses is speaking to the people. He's speaking to the people to get them ready to go in and possess the land that they should have, if it had been obedient unto God, they should have possessed 40 years earlier. And he's getting ready for them to go in, and he's given basically the whole book of Deuteronomy is his speech to them and teaching them exactly what their sin has cost them, and then if they're not obedient, what it's going to cost them in the future. But here in this 29th chapter, in the 25th verse, as I was reading this, a thought come to my mind, and listen to this. And then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, here, he's saying, you know, the people looking on, them men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers. I was listening to a news broadcast this week, and I forget exactly what state it was in. One of the southern states, seemed like it was Georgia, but I'm not 100% sure of that, where it was at. But a lady that her and her husband had apparently parted ways, and she was homeschooling the kids, and she was ordered to come to court. And she thought it was for the divorce papers to be signed. And she gets to court, and the judge orders her to put her children into public school because he was concerned at the ethics and stuff that she was teaching them. He had to admit that their education was far ahead of the public schools, but he was concerned about the ethics and things other than that they were being taught. And, you know, basically he's saying your kids need to be held back so they'll be the same as the public school kids, because I want them to go there knowing that they're already ahead of it. And, you know, when you read this and you see in America that our school system is failing and our politicians won't just keep putting money in it as if that's the answer, and yet the cheapest education that children can get is homeschool, and that's excelling over public school. And when we see our nation, the choices that we're making, from the time that they ordered to take Bible and prayer out of our schools, our economy, our crime rate, everything has been going the wrong direction. And yet, we don't seem to recognize and realize the importance of having God the center. And here in this, it says, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers. And also in the last number of years, there have been countries that we sent missionaries to are now sending missionaries to America, to our inner cities. And we begin to wonder just what God looks down and sees, and hear all of this come upon Israel, because they had forsaken the covenant of the God that had brought them out of Egypt. They'd forsaken all the things that God had told them to do. And they turned their back and walked away from it. And then I began to think about our forefathers and this nation, how it was founded, and how that the leaders of our nation, their whole purpose of coming here and setting up this nation, was so
if I had the freedom to worship God. And yet today, we don't want no part of that God. And then we seem to say, we've grown to where we don't see it. We've become educated enough to where we don't see it. We can't teach our children about that. It's all right to teach them about evolution or something that has no actual fact or basis to it. But we can't teach them about creation, the very thing that brought us from nothing under the strong nation on the face of the earth. We're believing in that God that was able to deliver. And yet today, it no longer seems to apply with most people. But yet, when we go back and we see the example of Israel and how that God blessed them and brought them into a land that they said themselves, and God told them it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? That meant everything that they needed to live was right there. It was already there when they went in. You'll find when they searched out the land, they were pods of grapes there. That was so big that two men, it took to carry one pod of grain. I've seen some big pods of grain, but never anything like that. That was a wonderful plan. The plan and the growth. But look what God said will become of it. And they failed to keep the covenant that God made with them. There would come a time they wouldn't even be able to grow grass. And that's where we're at. And you'll see that's exactly what would come of that air. He couldn't even grow grass. Went from a land flowing with milk and honey, but because of sin. And then quit believing in the true and living God. Went to worship in the idol. And come there wouldn't grow anything. Why you and I? When God lives, he says, sir, it makes no difference how hard you try, what you do, it won't prosper, because God's the one that gives the increase. And in America today, we have buildings that's full of idols to gods that was in nations around the world that we have brought to this country and their form of worship. And we set them on the same plane as those that believe in the God of creation. Well, you and I today, we better recognize there is but one God. There is but one Holy Son, Jesus Christ. And there is but one Holy Spirit. And you and I, either we're connected with that and anything else, will not do. I don't care what our politicians said. It is not acceptable in the sight of the God that blesses each and every one of us. You can bow your knee before these idols all you want to. But this week, as I was thinking about all of these things, how that God has blessed his nation so, and all these idols and the things that they've made and come to worship today. But you'll find back in the Bible, they were one place they took in the Ark of the Covenant. They sat in the temple other idols, and the next day when they went in, their idol was found before that covenant, that Ark of the Covenant. They set it all back up, and they go in again, and it fell in his hand and broke all down the heart of the threshold of the hell. You and I today, man might say, I will never bow. My God is greater than the God of the real world. But you and I today, it makes no difference what God we want to pray to. When this world is, there's only going to be one God, and that's the one that created it.
You know, I was listening this week as they were talking about this rocket that went up taking some kind of a telescope into space that's supposed to be stronger and better than anything. And it's going to see, it's so strong that it's going to be able to pick up planets around the stars that's out there. And I forget how many light years it is to our closest star to us. Well, you know, in all the peering out across space, no man has ever said, I see where heaven is. I don't know where that God's place of abode is in that heaven. As man would travel, I don't know how many light years it would take to get there if it was possible. But oh, I'm so thankful I can get on my knees and whisper a prayer, and it can travel all the way to there, and the answer back in a matter of moments. You would have today. Oh, and you wonderful to know the true and the living God. How am I made to be as a man back there in the bottle, praying that can make a difference. And despite what our politicians in Washington might think, that God that was listening to him pray that day, he's the same one that answered my prayer this morning. He's the same one. He hasn't changed. If you could see what he looked like at the moment when that old prophet called upon him, if you could have took a snapshot of God on that day and a snapshot of him today, he hasn't changed one iota. It looks identically the same. Why? God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Me and you, we've got a chance to know a true and a living God. And here, as people, you know, God said that the children of Israel will end up being a byword if they turn their back and walk away from the things of God. Any of you ever heard the term Jew somebody? You go out trying to negotiate a price on something you're buying, and everybody says, all you're trying to Jew them down. Where'd that come from? The Jews. God has, everything he said has come to pass the way he said. You and I, it's not if our sin is going to cost us. It's what it's going to cost us. It's not, is God going to give us the evil things? It's if that's what we've been living toward, that's what we're going to inherit. But God also says the blessings that will be pronounced upon us if we did according to what God asked. And, you know, here in this, listen to that again. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. You know, you and I, We could go back and read all of this. And God, with every bit of it, He told them what the promise was, and He also told them what the punishment would be if they failed to live up to what God was asking of them. If they failed to keep their part. Well, you know, when we see the condition that America is in today, we don't have to wonder who has failed. Is God failed because He's no longer able to provide for this great nation? No. It's because we fail to keep the covenant and the commands of God. You know, our forefathers, they recognized that God was in charge. They wrote our laws in accordance with the laws of God. And today, our leaders don't want to be guided by the laws of God. They want to be guided by the world court. You know, back when I was a kid, if our Supreme Court had made a ruling quoting what the world court's opinion was on something and made a ruling according to that, they'd probably been taken out and hung. But that's exactly what's happened here in the last few years. And yet, they're not sworn to uphold that court. They're sworn to uphold our Constitution of the United States. Americans did not get to vote for anything that the world court does, but we're supposed to be in charge of our government here in the United States, and it's no longer that way. The government pretty much does what they want, and the sad part about it, America, people are happy just to give them that right and not worry about it. But why not look at what it's costing us? When we turn from God, you know, the leaders of Israel, they turned into idol worship. I think it was Daryl that was preaching here about them digging in the wall and what did they find. You know, we send people to Washington and we think sometimes that we're sending good people. And they get to Washington and seem like they're corrupted by the things that goes on in Washington. But you and I'm afraid the biggest thing that's wrong, we're not seeing the men and women of character. You know, if a man or woman is a person of character, when they go there, they're not going to let that compromise them. They're going to stand up and hold true. That's what you'll find in the Bible. Men of God that would not compromise with the things of the world, no matter what it costs them. That's what God wants us to be today. When it comes to raising your children, God wants you to teach them the things of God. If it means that someday the government comes and takes them away from you, it's better that you stand before God with your hands clean. And as they strip those kids and take them out the door, pray, God, they're in your hands. I've done all I can do. God, they're in your hands. And know that God will take care of that you can. Then it would be to abide by what the government says and stand before God guilty of failing to keep your part. You know, here, they failed to do what God had told them. You know, when they come out of Egypt, I've often wondered about that. When they come out, all these children that come out, they seen the same thing that the adults seen. They seen how that the plagues come. And you know, they was on Egypt. But they wasn't there on the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were. That showed they was a mighty God. You and I today, our children should see in us the workings of God, where as they grow up, they know there still is a mighty God. That's what's happened in America today. The parents walked away from God, so the children have no communication. They haven't grown up seeing Him. You know, it's so sweet.
when you see a grandchild, when something happens, and the first thing that grandchild wants to do is pray. They see there was something important about prayer. They see that it was something that made a difference. You and I today, God wants us to do that very thing with our children, that they might see it, oh, God is not changed. That same God that worked the miracles back in the Bible, the deliverer is, oh, that same God that blessed this nation, that will come the greatest nation on the face of the earth, is the one that can still work miracles today. This nation, when it was attacked back, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, it basically destroyed our fleet in the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. It basically destroyed that whole fleet. Any other nation on the face of the earth, that was a defeating blow. But God, the nation went to his knees and began to pray. God heard his word from America for today. We don't have enough prayer before in America, or to accomplish anything, because we pray, but we don't believe. I ask people that call themselves Christian, they say, what do you actually believe? God can heal somebody. Yes, I do. Why if he could heal, how could he save a soul? That's a greater healing than any that ever took place. Why? Going from a dead world unto a living world, and it's a change
that is greater than being healed of cancer. They're being made alive in Christ Jesus. He said, old stony heart is being replaced by a heart of flesh, one that's alive, one that can be touched, one that can be made to live a life that the world can see that God changed them from the very mire of the bone out. You and I, the same thing as Israel found when we break the covenants of God, it cost us. America, if I, you know, I've heard them talk about that if things keep going, it's not going to be long till you won't be able to get a drink of clean water in America, even though it's coming out of a well, because we're contaminating even our deep groundwater in America. Well, you know, isn't it wonderful to know God's got a spring of water that cannot be contaminated by rain? He said it's pure water. And you and I, it makes no difference what the world does. They cannot contaminate that spring of living water that comes from God. And if you want the true thing, it's still available. If you want to know what it is to have a spirit-filled Christian life, it still can be obtained. Israel, God told them what the promises was, and he also told them what if they failed to do their part. What would be, you know, when they went in to possess the promised land, there was walled cities, great and high, and God still delivered. The walls fell. God delivered. You know, you think, I don't care. You know the strange thing about it? There's little things in the Jewish religion that they still hold on to. Events. One where the oil ran out, but yet God kept the last burning for 7 days, I think it was, until they got some water. And they still, every year, they mark that. And they really stress that part. You know, why not go back and stress all of the other things that God did and what it takes to have those promises? America, look at the the landmarks that we've got in our past of where God done such great big things for this nation. Why don't we go and reverence that, and reverence God by abiding by the things that it takes to be right in the sight of God instead of trying to always find a new way. You know, when something is tried and true and proven, you can't improve on it. And the more that society is trying to improve on things of worship, the worse they're getting. You've got to turn and go back. God said, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must come before God with a pure heart. We must come before God repentant of our sin. Not trying to justify ourselves, but repenting. Not say, God, here I am, you just got to accept me. But come and present ourselves to the Lord. Admit our shortcomings and our failings, and let God make us in to that that's acceptable unto Him. When we're willing to be changed, you know, that old lump of clay that potter picks up and begins to work with, that clay, if it's not the type that just yields and is willing to be molded, he takes it and throws it away. And he'll get back that will be more. You and I, we might think, I'll do as I please. You'll find yourself laying in the corner discarded by God. We must first come and let God mold us into what He would have us to be. Then we can be a vessel of honor. While we get some song to sing, please read and find out according to the Word of God all of the promises of God. You know, there's all kinds of people. They talk about the blessings of God, how wonderful God is. He's a loving God. He's this, He's that. God is more than man could ever begin to imagine. And He has promised man things beyond belief. It's just almost impossible to imagine the things that God is willing to give and do for man. But yet, man will not abide by it. You'll find in the Bible that most of the promises, God says, I will if you will. The if is always on our part. It's never on His part. You and I today, if we're not obtaining the things of God, it's because we have failed, not because God did. He's waiting for us to do our part. While we stand and sing, will you come? You want to be an on-fire Christian, first of all, you must repent and be willing for God to use you and make you into that. And if you don't, you can be sure that when your life is over, you'll regret for all of eternity for failing to do. You know, this nation might become a nation where we're recognized for idol worship. But oh, how faithful I am. That as the one writer said, for me and my house will serve the Lord. You and I today, we can set that determination. And no matter what decision the world makes, we can still serve God. You know, our president, he can send out all the decrees, anything that he wants to send out. And the courts can uphold it and say, we've got to abide by it. But you and I, the only thing we have to abide by is the laws of God. Man, they can lock you up for failing to break them. But God, He don't lock us up for failing to break His, when we fail and break His. What God punishes us for is because we just refuse to do it. And when we come before Him, we're going to find, we might have thought, oh, I got by for a long time here on earth. But when we stand before God, we're not going to get by. Sin is going to be punished. And each and every one of you, you know, the Bible said to know to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin. Each one of us, we need to keep our mind and our heart.